There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
William Mullally, of course, is our film man. And yesterday, William, you were attending what is the press conference for DIFF 2017, and a very exciting affair it was, I hear.
It's the 14th edition of the Dubai International Film Festival.
I can't believe there's been that many.
I know, I've been going since 2009, so it's my favorite part of the year, as I say every year.
Yeah, me too.
It's the best time to see all the movies that are going to be, you know, favorited for the Oscars, all independent films that are never going to come here otherwise, films from all around the world in places that you've never seen films from before. You'll be able to hear amazing voices from the region. You'll be able to see people like Patrick Stewart live in conversation,
yeah.
Michelle McLaren from HBO. So there's a lot of things to look forward to this year.
Loads of people are excited about Patrick Stewart.
I how could you not be? I mean, I think...
Well, I don't know if I am massively excited about him, just because I'm more of a Tom Cruise generation type person. You know what I mean? He's classy.
He is classy. I mean, there was someone on the stage who I will not name names, but they did say that you'd mostly know him from his voiceover work, and you might not know his face. And I think this is just someone. They said, "Oh, it's the guy from the Emoji movie." Yeah, that's the only movie he's ever done. I'm like, it's Jean-Luc Picard. It's
so
Professor
funny.
X. And obviously, you know, a very accomplished theater actor who's done Shakespeare. He can do really anything, but he's also just one of the warmest and funniest guys, as people have seen on social media. So I know he's going to be absolutely wonderful to have as a guest here. I'm so excited.
Yeah. We spoke to Shivani from DIFF, who told us about the tie-up this year between the UK and the UAE.
This year is the celebration of the UK and the UAE, and we have partnered with different British organisations, including BAFTA, the BFI and the British Council. We're working with BAFTA to bring the BAFTA and Academy Award winning costume designer, Alexandra Brown. We also are... We've collaborated with BFI and the British Council to present the Writers' Room, which is a cultural exchange of writers from the UK as well as from the region. So we've got it's a really nice a mix. We've got a great delegation coming down. We've got VR experiences from the UK, and we have over 10 beautiful films from the UK.
We'll feel nice at home this year then with all the British films that are showing.
We will, won't we? And the theme this year for the festival, they always have a theme, is Film Will Find You, and Shivani explains why.
I think Film Will Find You means different things to different people, but for me it's essentially that we have all kinds of films, and something's going to speak to you, something's going to find you and get you to the cinemas, and films everywhere. So for us it's really a matter of film is going to come and get you.
It's going to come and grab us.
I do really like that, Film Will Find You.
Yeah, I think it's a good line.
It's quite, it makes you feel a bit nostalgic, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cracking line.
Nice.
And of course, lots of people coming down here that are going to be honoured this time around.
Okay, we're going to get back into the movies then. And is there anything else we need to know about DIFF when it comes to films that are not the big ones?
Well, I think there's plenty of time for people to peruse the 140 films. So, and I don't want to tell any of the smaller ones because I don't want those to sell out since I don't have my tickets yet.
That's so sly.
But I think you should go for the big ones right now. I think it's The Shape of Water, especially the new Guillermo del Toro film, is getting huge buzz, getting amazing reviews. And he's obviously following, you know, some of his best work, I think, with this, more in the vein of The Devil's Backbone and Pan's Labyrinth than we've seen from him in the last 5 to 10 years. So I think this is one that people are going to want to see immediately.
And you really do have to be good with your schedule, don't you? Because, I mean, a lot of us work during the day. You have to work out which films you can see and then make sure they don't clash with other ones. It is quite a tricky week.
I always find a way, but I'm always running. I'm always out of breath.
Do you take the week off?
If I can. Otherwise, I just go insane. I think this year I'm gonna have to still be working some. And obviously I'll be working at the festival itself, moderating a number of the panels. So it's always kills me, but it's so worth it.
You know, when I used to work on breakfast, I would finish at 10 a.m. and then just go and watch movies all day at the film festival. And now I've got this job and I'm involved
in it. Yeah, you don't get a chance to see them,
no,
do you?
I don't get a chance to see as many movies. It kills me.
Well, I'll I'll tell you all about every single one of these movies, I'm sure, on the radio all week.
Yeah, you're going to be there. We're going to be broadcasting live, which is going to be fantastic, just off the red carpet. So if you are coming down and you happen to be there when the ticket's on air, you've got to come and say hello. No excuses.
I know, you can't miss us there, you know, all dapper on the red carpet, you know. And I like doing a bit of celebrity spotting when I'm down there as well. You always see somebody, don't you, that, oh, yeah, look who that is. And, you know,
I saw the guy from Tyrant, I think, last year.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Who played the really mean brother.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
He was just sitting in the cafe, and I walked past him, and I did a stop, and I actually said to him, oh, I can't believe it's you. Like, I got really starstruck. And then I went, I don't have my phone. Will you just wait while I go and get my phone? And then I went to get my phone and came back, and he was gone.
I've been told that Cate Blanchett doesn't want to do any TV interviews, which is going to lose my shot at her. But they said that I can catch her on the red carpet. So she's the one.
Did she mention radio? She wants to do radio interviews?
Don't worry. I went back with that.
Okay.
But yeah, I think Cate Blanchett, she's here for the Global Gift Gala and IWC's Filmmaker Award. So I'm so excited.
You know, it's my big moment of the year as well.
It is.
Because, you know, usually I go on the red carpet on the first night, and I always get interviewed by this puppet from Egypt called Pabla Fajita, who makes me a big star in Egypt on TV. It's a bit like spitting image type thing. And she always has a little bit of a laugh with me and, you know, has a go at the hair and everything. And off that, I'm always being stopped in shopping malls and everywhere I go by Egyptian people that I've never met before. And they say, we've seen you on the telly in Egypt.
Yeah, it's 100 million people watching on TV.
It's the most famous you've ever got, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it happened a couple of times last weekend. It's ongoing throughout the year. Yeah. In fact, I bought my wife my birthday present this year, and when I was paying at the till, the guy said, I know you. And I said, really? He said, yeah, I've seen you on TV. I know you. And
well,
he'd seen me
what?
In Egypt.
Mm. This is good. Next job.
What?
Could be in Egypt. Do they have expat radio in Egypt?
Oh, we can set it up. What we need to do is get a Mark puppet. That's what we need. We need to bring that to the red carpet.
Yeah,
Mark
puppet
is the
versus puppet. Yeah, then give Pabla a run for her money. What
that
a great
really
idea.
That would be funny, actually, wouldn't it? Yeah, let's work on that.
Yeah, can we get a puppet made that looks like me?
Does anyone know who's listening where we can get a puppet made? 4001, let us know.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant.
We'll give Pabla a run for her money.
And if you do want to get your tickets and see the schedule for DIFF, DubaiFilmFest.com is where you need to head to. New movies.
Yeah, the big one that everybody's talking about is Coco, and it's animated, but I'm hearing people are being brought to tears by this film.
I am definitely one of them, I will admit. It's the new film from Disney and Pixar. Pixar, I think, has developed a reputation at this point for putting a huge amount of emotions into its films. I don't know, was there any that got you? Was it Up? The beginning of Up, I think, is the one that got most people.
I like Monsters, Inc. That was them, right?
The end, yeah, when she's like, Kitty, he opens the door. Oh, that gets me every time.
And Toy Story, of course, was Pixar. Early days.
Yeah, Toy Story 3, I think, was the most emotional one for me.
Yeah.
That one I fully broke down in the cinema.
Was that the one with Wheezy the Penguin? I loved Wheezy the Penguin. Oh, he was so cute. He was that, you know those toys with the squeeze?
Yeah, and his squeak was going
squeak
a bit,
was
wasn't
going.
It? He was struggling, the squeak.
Yeah, Pixar, they do a really good job of that.
And this one, I think, is no different. And it ventures, I think, a bit off the beaten path. It's gone down to Mexico to tell the story of the Dia de los Muertos, or Dia de Muertos, if they're talking quickly, which is the Day of the Dead, which is not a, you know, spooky Halloween-type holiday. This is a day when all of your loved ones, whose pictures you have on your wall, come to visit you, and you remember all of the people that have passed, and this is a good way of keeping you in touch with your ancestors and keeping your family history alive. And a young boy never knew his great-grandfather. He's been banished from the family record, but he was a musician, and he wants to be a musician too, so he wants to go find his grandfather and ends up getting stuck in the land of the dead himself, looking for his grandfather.
All right, well, we're going to hear the trailer for this movie. I'm going to talk more about it when we come back. If you're excited about it, let us know on 4001.
Yeah, we're also going to be hearing the movie Breathe as well. It's a totally different role for Andrew Garfield, who was Spider-Man before, and he possibly could be in the Oscar running for this one. It's a real tearjerker.
Real time.
And William Mullally is the man, tickets film critic, of course, and you've been talking to us about a film that actually brought you to tears just before the news there. What's he called again? Coco.
It's called Coco.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was originally titled something like the untitled Disney Pixar film about the Day of the Dead, which I think they went with something a bit catchier with Coco.
Yeah,
but it's still
works.
A bit nondescript. It doesn't really give you the feeling of anything. It doesn't even give you the feeling of the culture.
If you just tune in, it is an animated movie. I think primarily aimed at children, but it's one of those movies that adults will love as well.
Oh, I think Pixar.
Most Pixar movies.
Yeah, Pixar movies are, I think, are aimed at everyone at this point. And I don't think that any person would say, oh, that. I think with most animated films, yeah, you'll have that stigma. But if it's something like Toy Story, I don't think there's anyone in the world who doesn't want to watch Toy Story.
Do you know what? I don't know if I would watch Toy Story now. I watched it when I was 22.
It was just amazing, the animation, though, when it came out, wasn't it? I think that's what drew everyone to it.
I watched it whilst, just after the Formula One, actually. Isn't that weird? Yeah.
From Formula One to Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah. I remember it well.
I think those characters, even if you don't want to go back and watch it, you know, Woody and Buzz are
No, but what I mean is, when I watched it, I was younger, and it was a different time, wasn't it? Whereas now, I'm 37... Would I actually watch it if it came out tomorrow? Like, I'm not sure if I would go and see Coco.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, there's periods in your life, I think, where you do go and see animated movies. Certainly if you're a parent, then, you know, I went through a stage where I was watching every single animation that came out, having two children. But then now I've kind of stopped bothering going to see those at the cinema.
You're a film critic. Are other people in their 30s going to see Pixar movies? Or do we just think they are?
No, they definitely are. I mean, I think animation and horror are two genres where really any genre, any movie needs to be good in order to make money. I mean, all of this is driven by the market. And if it's a good movie, people will go see it. Except if it's a random animation or if it's a random horror movie, people will go see those anyway. So they don't necessarily need to be very good. But Pixar, I think, has established a track record of they're going to release a good movie as well. And I think that, just based on quality alone, is what most people want. And that's why most people will go see a movie with this brand on it, because they know they're going to get something that's more than just a bunch of fluffy kids' jokes that are going to be playing on your VCR for the next 20 years or whatever media source you have now.
Yeah. Let's take a listen to the trailer and see if it moves us like it moved William.
Oh, it's you. You're gonna get me in trouble, Dante.
Someone could hear me.
I wish someone wanted to hear me.
Other than you.
I know I'm not supposed to love music.
No music. No music.
But my great-grandma Coco's father was the greatest musician of all time.
Papa.
Ernesto de la Cruz.
One day, he left with his guitar and never returned.
No, my family thinks music is a curse.
Great-great-grandfather, none of them understand me.
I'm supposed to play music.
All right, who's in there?
I'm sorry. What's going on? I'm just dreaming.
Do you mind?
Welcome to the land of the dead.
Dante, wait up! You gotta stay with me, boy.
This isn't a dream, then. You're all really out there.
Agents at the Department of Family Reunions are available to assist you.
Please be on the lookout for a living boy.
Miguel? You're here.
We're your family, mijo.
I recognize that music.
It's Bittersweet Symphony, The Verve, isn't it?
The Verve.
It's an authentic Mexican classic.
Yeah, sure.
Love that feeling of culture that they've imbued in this.
So this is embracing the Mexican culture as well, isn't it? This film.
And I think that the director, Lee Unkrich, has done a great job of really making this as authentic as possible. The voice cast is not a bunch of gringos, as you could say. Acting as Mexicans, this is people who are from this culture, are trying to tell it as accurately as possible. And it really captures the heart, I think, of Mexico. It's especially at a time that's really important, when you have guys like the President of the United States trying to build a wall, talking about how these are terrible people. And it's really, I think, a beautiful culture that has fantastic traditions and a huge heart and a huge focus on family. And it really deserves a film like Coco now more than ever.
And great food. Don't forget the food.
No one can forget the food.
La la la.
Now, actor Gael Garcia Bernal is here talking about his character of Hector.
I play Hector, who's the a very funky guy that lives in the land of the dead and is going through an existential crisis from a dead person's perspective. And the visit or the appearance of Miguel really just shakes him, and he embarks on a journey, or rather he takes Miguel in a journey through the land of the dead, helping him to sort his situation as well, but also he's got his own thing going on.
Loving his accent.
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yeah. Now, the director of this film is Benjamin Bratz, and he's really thrilled to be part of this project, you know, just because it does embrace the Mexican culture.
It's, I think, the thing we're most thrilled about. I mean, it's, you come to a Pixar project when you're invited as a fan anyway. I have two kids, and I've seen all of their movies, and there's no denying they're master storytellers. That they're at this moment, in this age, shining a light, a rather bright light, on the beauty of the Mexican culture. It's not only a relief, man, it's just, I don't know, I think it's a game changer. What it will do is, with all the power they have in their storytelling, is reintroduce, in a way, this beautiful culture to a global community. And it will not only underscore that beauty, but it also share the connective tissue, really, that at the end of the day, we're all human beings, kind of trafficking the same wishes and desires, and it's all relatable. So I'm really excited about that part of it.
Yeah, all right, I'm going to go and see it.
I think you should.
I wouldn't normally, but I am going to go and see it on that basis. And we had a text from Femi on 4001 who says, when The Incredibles 2 comes out, you'll see more adults than kids in the theatres.
Yeah, I think the nostalgia factor at this point is a lot like it was for Toy Story 3 when that came out. The trailer just came out this week. It looks fantastic. And The Incredibles, I think, is one of the movies that people would put at the top of their Pixar list.
All right, so Coco is getting a big thumbs up from William Mullally, and that does not happen very often for movies, so it's got
especially
to be.
Especially for animation.
Yeah, it's got to be good. But Breathe is a totally different kind of film, and it's a totally different kind of role for Andrew Garfield, who you will know as Spider-Man. Before last, Spider-Man. It's been so many. He's possibly going to win an Oscar for this. It is a tearjerker. More next.
Real time.
We're looking at the movies, the big movies that have been released. Normally happens at midnight, doesn't it, on a Wednesday?
Yeah, 11 to midnight.
Okay, so it's very topical that we talk about them on a Thursday. And I know a lot of people just don't fancy going out over the weekend. They do just want to go to a movie, and that is going out, but it's not going out.
You don't have to get too dressed up.
Nah, you don't have to get dressed up at all, do you? I love that. In fact, you've got to take a good hoodie because it's still cold.
Yeah, because it's nippy in those cinemas, yeah.
Yeah.
Always take some with a hood on.
But we got a cracking movie for you next. It's called Breathe.
Breathe, yeah. It's the truth story. I know a lot of people out there, of our listeners, love real-life stories of fantastic people who have overcome the odds. This is Robin Cavendish, who... In 1958, at the age of 28, who was in Kenya at the time, was stricken with polio and became paralyzed from the neck down and was given 3 months to live. And if you only watch the first 20 minutes of this movie, you will find it to be the most depressing film you've ever seen in your life.
You got to keep going.
This is a guy who had lost the will to live. Everything had fallen apart in front of him. He just got a beautiful new wife, and as she is pregnant, he falls ill, about to die. And he does not die. He does not, you never get to see that his children. He overcomes and not only survives, but he leaves the hospital. He starts to develop mechanisms, a chair and a motorized breathing system running on a battery so that he can actually go around into the world. And not only did he live a rich and full life traveling all around the world in this chair with a lot of near-death experiences along the way, he helped to popularize this as a new way of treating people who have this condition. And so thousands of people all around the world were able to finally leave their hospitals because of this. So he really changed the world.
He did. He totally changed the world. If you've seen The Crown on Netflix, and the actress who plays his wife also plays Queen Elizabeth in that, and I love her. I hadn't seen her before I'd watched The Crown. She's fantastic, isn't she?
Yeah, I think with both of these stars are really big actors, on her on Netflix and him across Martin Scorsese movies. He's gone away from being the second Spider-Man into, I think, one of the most beloved actors, especially in these sorts of period dramas. I think he's one of those actors who just has a very natural charisma to him. He just seems like an emotional, likable guy, so you can put him in these sorts of roles and he can absolutely make you cry your eyes out, and I think that's why he's perfect for this role.
Let's have a listen in on the trailer then to this one, Breathe.
I don't want to just survive, I want to truly live.
Breathe.
I could ask you to dance, and you could say, well, I don't feel like dancing, and then I could say, well, maybe some other time. could just not ask.
Diana, this is your future life we're talking about. But you hardly know him. He's practically a stranger.
The thing is, I just know this is it.
I love you, Robin.
I'm not feeling too good. I can't move. What's going on?
Robin, get him on a respirator!
People paralyzed by polio don't last long.
Can't move anything from the neck down. Can't even breathe for yourself.
How do you live like this?
Yes, choose Suet.
I love you, and I want Jonathan to know you.
You can't love this.
Yes, I can. There must be something I can do.
Get me out of here.
When I watched the trailer for this, I instantly thought of Theory of Everything.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking film.
Yeah.
Eddie Redmayne. I think that's the movie that really catapulted him into stardom. And I think Andrew Garfield at this point is far higher on the totem pole than Eddie Redmayne was when he made this. But I don't think this is the movie that's necessarily going to launch Andrew Garfield to that Eddie Redmayne level. I don't think that it is going to capture audiences the same way. I think it's a really worthwhile story. It's just maybe a bit of a tear down from Theory of Everything, while also being a really important and inspiring story. And I have to say, there are scenes in this, that one probably concentrates a bit too much on their romance, but there are scenes in this that are absolutely harrowing. When the littlest thing happens, someone accidentally trips over the wire unplugging his breathing machine, and you sit there for 2 minutes in agony wondering if he's going to survive it. It's really powerful at points. And so I while it's not overall the fantastic film, it has moments that will just take your breath away.
Andrew Garfield, of course, the star of the show, here he is. He's talking about the character that he plays, and also the message that the film delivers.
It's about things that we take for granted. It's really about the things that we don't have to think about. The fact that our lungs are working right now without us operating them. The fact that we're not living in constant fear of death. It's a privilege, really, because the character that I play is an amazing man, true story about this amazing man and his wife. His name was Robin Cavendish, and her name was Diana, and she's still with us. Mm-hmm. And he contracted polio when he was 28, and he was then paralyzed from the neck down. And he couldn't breathe for himself. His interior functionality totally shut down. So he had to have a tracheostomy, an opening in his larynx, and they put a breathing tube in, and it was connected to a ventilator where he was breathed for the rest of his life. And he had to live the rest of his life with this external support, not only with this machine, but really being taken care of by his wife and his friends and his family. And his story is remarkable. It's about so many things. It's thematically very, very rich, I think. And ultimately, it's an inspiring story about what's meaningful in life and how we create lives that are very meaningful.
So that's Breathe, and it is in cinemas now, across Dubai and Abu Dhabi as well, probably.
I'm sure. And some other things are going to be coming to Abu Dhabi soon, in a couple of weeks.
Is it another thumbs up?
Oh, it is.
Oh,
yeah, for this one.
In 1 week.
He's not had a go at anybody this week.
Amazing.
Yeah. Go see Coco, though, I think, if you really want to cry your eyes out. But if you want more of a true-to-life story, this is the one to see.
They're both criers, then.
Yeah, both of them. You were getting into Abu Dhabi there.
I was.
And your other passion, as well as movies, is wrestling.
This one's going to be a bit tough, too, because it's during the film festival. Not sure how many other people have this sort of crossover where they're both at the film festival and going for professional wrestling shows.
I think what we should say is that William's passion is watching wrestling and not doing it, just in case anyone's confused.
I don't know if they want to call me into the ring.
Oh, come on.
I've been watching it long enough. I think I got some moves.
You would not do it, would you?
Oh, I could. I got it all planned out.
Okay.
Just, you'll see.
You said it on the radio.
Yeah. WWE is coming back for the first time in 2 years to Abu Dhabi. Their Thursday night show, I think, is sold out, which is Thursday the 7th of December. So they've announced a second show. They've actually canceled one of their shows in India, and now they're putting more focus on Abu Dhabi. So we're really, I think, the important market if we want to start a rivalry there. And I was able to speak with WWE tag team champion Cesaro about the show and what we can expect from both shows in Abu Dhabi, which I am so excited to be able to attend and see all of these guys live. And here's what he told me.
The fans can look forward to the WWE Raw roster coming to Abu Dhabi, which means, you know, all their favorite Raw superstars. I think last time you guys got the SmackDown crew, so this time we get the A show, so to speak. You know, there's always this good rivalry. So, of course, you're going to see myself and Sheamus. You're going to see the Shield, Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss, Matt Hardy, all your favorite. The Miz is going to be there. All your favorite Raw superstars. It's going to be very excited. We're all very happy to finally come back to the UAE.
Well, if you are a wrestling fan, Platinum List is an easy place to find your tickets for that.
Yeah, and I think that prices are definitely very competitive. And so if you can't get tickets to all the great movies of the film festival, maybe try to do the film festival during the morning and then go see some amazing professional wrestling.
And these are the
night.
Big names that are coming, aren't they? I mean, that some of the names he was reeling off there, The Miz and the other guys.
One that has been announced since I had that conversation with Cesaro, actually, is Triple H is going to be coming.
Really?
Really. And wrestling in the ring. He's not just going to be coming in and doing an introduction. He's going to be wrestling in Abu Dhabi. I don't know. This might be the last chance you'll ever have the chance to say that. So I think if anyone wants to go see one of the absolute legends of the business, Triple H will be in Abu Dhabi on the 7th and the 8th, and I will be there as well.
You heard it here first. And our ticketers, we are going to leave you with one of these. TFT. Now, this is a tip for tonight. We leave you with one every single day on the ticket. And today we are embracing Thanksgiving, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, it's Thanksgiving today. Now, Dubai Today did a great show. There was plenty of tips on how to cook your turkey if you want to find their podcast on that. Lots of good restaurants around Dubai also offering Thanksgiving dinner tonight. But, Mark, what are you doing for your tea?
I saw it being prepared this morning. It's a nasi goreng at night for me, so going very Asian.
Okay, I'm going to go for Japanese tonight, William.
Oh, I want stuffing, I want mashed potatoes, I want sweet potato pie, I want as much turkey as I can possibly eat. I'm going to gorge myself on Thanksgiving Day.
Can you say sweet potato pie again?
Sweet potato pie.
Lovely. Well, take that, Donald Trump. Only 33% of the vote.
What? For sweet potato pie?
For Thanksgiving.
Oh.
We're doing something else.
Oh, yeah, William's absolutely.
Doing it. Yeah, we're doing Asian. As much of the popular vote as Donald Trump got, so I think it's about right.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.